Hey friends, this is Carla.
I want to personally invite you into real conversations about living wholehearted and finding freedom, joy, and true peace. I'm the founder of Bochy's Place, an organization that provides safe homes and rehabilitation for women who've been rescued from human trafficking. My heart is to see you walk in freedom and discover that everything you need is already within you. If you feel alone in what you're going through and you need a counselor, mentor, or maybe just a friend, that's exactly what this podcast is for. Welcome to the conversation. Hi, everyone. Wow, so here we are. I was invited to be a guest on my dear friend Kelly's podcast called Intentionally Fabulous. Kelly is a beautiful, successful woman who unfortunately went through a very difficult divorce. And during that divorce, I met Kelly at a retreat that we were hosting, and we were able to help her come into some freedom. So she invited me to come and be on her show and discuss some of the principles that I gave her as she was walking through her healing. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, Intentionally Fabulous ladies. Welcome to our very first challenge, Empowered After Divorce. I am so thankful that you are here. Honestly, I woke up so excited this morning that I get to be here and that this is how I get to spend my night with you. So I just want to congratulate you on taking this hour for yourself. I want to let you know you are worthy and that this hour truly is going to be empowering. That's what it's about. It's about giving you back your power, maybe more power than you knew you ever had. So I'm about to bring my great friend Carla on. And let me just tell you, Carla was such a big part of my healing. As many of you know, I searched high and low to find help to get well. I was desperate to be well. I wanted to figure this out. And I was introduced to Carla through a mutual friend. Turns out we were actually neighbors in the same neighborhood. And I went on a 3-day retreat with Carla, which was unbelievable. Really peeled back all the layers for me. Carla has an amazing gift that she is an anointed teacher, but you're gonna feel her heart, you're gonna feel her soul. She is an empowerment coach, she's humanitarian. Carla is a mom to 2 adult children. She's been married for many years. You're gonna find out about her marriage and what happened there, because divorce was on the table several times, but she's gonna share what she did so that she was able to overcome that. And you know what? It had to do with holding up the mirror. So I want to let you know, this is about you. This is not about your ex-husband or soon-to-be ex-husband. This is not about your children or your in-laws. This is about you tonight. So we want you to receive. And with that, I'm going to bring on my amazing friend, Carla. Carly, with us. There she is. Carla, welcome.
Hi.
Oh my goodness. So Carla's coming to us from Park City, Utah, where she is in the middle of her family vacation and celebrating her daughter's birthday. Thank you, Carla.
Yes. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? When you asked me to do this, you know, Kelly, I am all in. If I can help bring any female out of that dark place and into the sky to fly. So thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And you know what, Carla, I'm not going to do this with any other guest, but I want to read Carla's mission statement to you, because you will just instantly get an impression for the movement that's going to happen tonight, but also her heart for women. So I honestly just want you to sit back, sit in your seat, get comfortable, relax. You might even want to open up your hands and receive this. This is Carla's mission statement. Carla lives with passion to see the female side of humanity living her life in the fullest measure of freedom. She wants to see women break away from the grip of unworthiness, insecurity, fear, and rejection so that she can live her life to the fullest expression of her feminine design, a world where she knows and walks in the power and beauty and fiber of her makeup, from the knowing that she will not only find what she was created to be and do in this life, but she will become desirable, beautiful woman that overflows with confidence and uncontainability. But wait, there's more. keep receiving these words. Carla's mission is to reveal the hidden truth of who we are and break the core of lies we have lived under for centuries. She knows this generation will see an awakening amongst women that will rebuild communities, homes, and families. She will see the purpose and beginning to rebuild their lives so that community around them will be transformed. Oh my goodness. Wow. I mean, that mission statement alone is a gift to all womankind. It so really Carla, thank you for writing that.
It is my heart. I mean, I just really just wanted to pour out exactly what my heart is for women. And I got to tell you, Kelly, you know, some of my story, it comes from an authentic place of overcoming. You know, I tell people all the time, I do not have a degree from college. I barely got out of high school with like 70s. I am an entrepreneur. I've owned multiple companies. Everybody knew me as a strong, successful woman. But inside, I was just, you know, it came from a great family. My parents were 48 years married when my mom died. I've been married 30 years. You know, I thought from the outside, we looked like we had it going on. But I'm telling you, when I realized what I was missing, even as a Christian woman, believing what I believed by the church or by what man told me that the Bible meant, I felt more in bondage the harder I tried. And I thought, got to figure this out for myself. And I spent 3 years in timeout. I call it my years of timeout. And I had to figure this out for me. I had to let go of everything I was trying to fix. And through that, I literally thought, my gosh, what would this world look like if women everywhere were free? What would we do if we were all free, right? So that's really just been my heart.
I love that. So you got to a place where you were kind of at the end of yourself, and you talk about how you were blaming everything else, but then you got to today where you are living intentionally fabulous. So can you walk us through that place where, I mean, you were using the divorce word. You're not shy about saying that you were, you know, there, and now you're intentionally fabulous. Can you walk us through what that was like?
So probably let me start by saying I got married when I was 20. My husband was 24. We were both successful-ish, I guess you can be in your early 20s, and came together. He's from London, England, half Italian, half Greek, part English. I'm Mexican-American, quite literally. So it was like a combustion of like egos and emotions and, you know, generations of junk, you know, coming together. But we loved each other and we were best friends. And so we came together, you know, but we're both entrepreneurs. And I remember in our 10th or 12th year, we had to go to counseling. I believed in my mind that threatening him would accomplish my goals, that if I could get him to change, if I could get him to see things that he was doing wrong, then we could be married happily ever after, or so that we could have freedom, or so that our house would be in peace. And I remember I was the biggest scorekeeper in the world. I had the Jumbotron scorekeeping board in my life. And I remember always focusing on him. And I remember a counselor, I said to a counselor once, we were in counseling probably 3 times in our marriage in depth, you know, like get it back together counseling. And you probably remember phone books. You know, I don't know if these kids anymore know what a phone book was, but I remember there was a time in our marriage when I would get the yellow pages and open it up and like position it right where he could see it when he came in from work. And I would circle the big red marker, divorce attorneys. Like I was really trying to get his attention. And like, if you can see I'm serious, I'm going to divorce you, you know, then maybe you'll change and maybe you'll stop being whatever I thought he was, you know. And I never realized. And so I was in counseling one time and I said to the counselor, and Kelly, I'm telling you, I believed this with every ounce of my fiber. I said to the counselor, if I have been happy until I met him, and then it's been complete turmoil. And y'all, I was 20 when I met him, so I was a baby myself. But I said, if he would just get it together, we could be happy. Like if you could just come live in my house, you would see what a jerk he was. You would see how crazy he makes me. Like, you just don't know. I'm great without him. Like, I just need to get a divorce. And he used to say to me, divorce is not an option, so figure out something else. And that infuriated me because I was like, yes, it is. So I'm an eight on the Enneagram. So you don't tell an eight what you're not going to do. So it just inflates me even more. Well, I learned, it took me a while. We hit rock bottom. And everything I tried, Kelly, didn't work. Everything I tried, it just made it worse and worse and worse. And we were best friends, but we were at each other's throat all the time. And I remember one day just thinking, that's it, I'm done. And I thought, I have a year and a half left before my daughter graduates from high school, and then I'm out. And I say this with shame now, but I was very courageous in my decision back then that I decided I was going to divorce him as soon as she graduated from high school. And so I gave myself a year and a half. And in that year and a half, I decided I'm going to work on me and make me a better person so that my next marriage would be fire. So it'll be amazing. And that's where I was. And what God allowed me to do was to really believe that was going to happen. And so I went on a deep dive because I was so miserable. I went on a deep dive to figure out who I was. And then I was led to some books and I started studying the Hebrew because I wanted to know, before religion ever came into play, before different ideas even happened, God, what did you say about who I am? I've got to come to know the authentic design as the feminine side of humanity. And I did this deep dive. And when I figured it out, Kelly, oh my gosh, it was fire for me. I was literally, something awoke in me. It just came alive. And I thought, oh my gosh, just sitting here as a human being, just breathing the air, I have more intention and more power and more anointing just sitting here as a female with no words coming out of my mouth, with no actions, with no scoreboard. I still have more than I need to be amazing. Why am I worried about what he's doing? And so with that, oh my gosh, I just started working on me and he disappeared to me. But I got to tell you this really great testimony of that. Like, I didn't even see him anymore. I didn't care if he was working on himself. I didn't care if he was reading the Bible or getting counsel or whatever. I didn't care anymore. All I cared about was me now getting more of this taste of freedom that I had because I'd never experienced it. And so one day, God had me serving him like hand and foot. And I was very angry about that. And that's a whole nother story for another time. But I did this for about 3 or 4 months and he never said anything. He was just cautious. Like, and this is the time we were done. You know, we were just kind of buying our time. And he was very cautiously receiving things from me. And God just kept saying, go and serve him, go. And I'm like, no, I'm not serving this guy. He needs to be like buried. Why are you having me serve him? Like, what? I didn't realize what God was doing through me. God was breaking me of my pride. He had nothing to do with my husband. So I did. I'm a little obedient, you know, soldier. So I did. And 3 or 4 months into that, all of a sudden I started waking up. So I used to drink an energy drink every morning. And it was a beautiful thing. I was addicted to it kind of. But I started waking up and he was sitting next to my bed in a goblet with ice. And I was like, what is he doing? So we both kind of started serving each other. And we didn't realize we were trying to outserve each other. And we weren't talking about it because nobody wanted to interrupt the flow. And finally, one day I said, can I ask you, why are you being so nice to me? What are you doing? And he said to me, and I'll never forget this, Kelly. He said, well, I don't know what's happened to you, but in the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen a peace come over you that I've never seen. We were probably in our 25th year of marriage at this point. He said, I've never seen peace on you like I see right now. And I don't know what you're doing, but I'm just trying to do what you're doing for me because I want that peace. And that broke me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that is, it doesn't matter where you come from, what religion you come from. It's called sowing and reaping. It's called, was it reciprocity? I can never say that word. It is like what you put out, you get in. It's called karma. It's whatever. But literally, it was the heart of God in action. You give. Don't worry about how it comes back. God's going to make sure it comes back. And so that was a huge turning point in our life. And I just kept doing that. I just kept working for me and working on me. And he literally, all his flaws, all his mistakes, all the things that drove me crazy about him, I just didn't have time to think about it because I was just inhaling the goodness, inhaling that positive energy, inhaling the, I couldn't stop the blessings coming my way. I had opportunities, doors opening, but I was just flying. I was just celebrating every day. And I thought, this was for me. I don't even care anymore what anybody else is doing. So that's kind of how it all started. And that's how we took that sharp turn. And we're better than ever today. Thank God.
Yes. And that's the flow we talk about. And I know everyone who's listening here, your story is different. Obviously, Carla, it got to work for you. You got to stay married. You're happily married. You're with your whole beautiful family on vacation. And we love to see that. But it's the flow, really, that was the point, that there's this giving, this receiving. There's this not striving, not really working. So how would you suggest for a woman who maybe right now there's financial issues, there's issues with the kids, I don't know where I'm going to live, they're changing school. I mean, it just feels like a hurricane came in and blew up your life and left you with this gaping hole in your heart. And she's like, how do I get that flow? Where do I begin? What would you say?
That's a very good question, Kelly. And I'm very aware of who's watching this, this piece tonight, because I want you to know I do coach several women who are in that very position. And it seems as though there's devastation, whether through affairs or sudden divorces, or she's chosen the divorce or he did, or whatever the story is. I'm very aware of that real pain. I was there myself. My path went different, but I know that there are opportunities, Kelly, even like your life and your marriage that I personally know about. I stood behind you that absolutely the divorce needed to happen. There's no way I would never encourage anything else other than that. So I want to say that I don't believe that every single marriage is going to make it. I believe that sometimes that there is something better for you on the other side of that storm. But during the storm and during that upset, I think it's important to focus on what you're going towards. I want to give you some statistics. And I don't know if we're able to pull up any of our visuals that I had, but there's a visual that I do that is, we have 70,000 thoughts a day, you guys. 70,000, average brain is 70,000 thoughts a day. If you take the average untrained, unfocused brain, has 90% of those 70,000 thoughts literally are about the past. Only 10% are about the future. This is a huge thing to pay attention to, because that gives you a 90% chance of failure if it's untrained and unfocused. That means you only have a 10% chance of succeeding, and that's in any situation. So let's say your life has been torn apart. Let's say that you don't know what you're going to do. The kids are there and fighting and divorce attorneys and Facebook and all the things are happening, and your heart's being ripped apart. You're curled over in a ball in the bottom of your closet crying, and you can't even like whip yourself out to go make some hot tea. I get all that. But what we have to do is make our future bigger than our past. So if you're in a stage right now, whether you're trying to work it out or whether it's already done and you're moving on, whatever it is that you want, if it aligns with health and goodness, and it's not like, I want to continue a dysfunctional, abusive relationship, that's not good. You can't put that in your future. You have to be thinking, you write those things out. I want the best life that God has for me. I want my kids to be healthy and strong. I want success and prosperity. And don't just generalize that. Actually put numbers out. I want to find a job, or I want to start a business that looks like this. I want my divorce to be finalized like this. Like, start putting your focus on the things that you want from your future. Because if you sit in what you're in, which is the bottom of the barrel, if you sit there, that's all you're going to get. But not only is that all you're going to get, that's all you're going to attract. So the longer you stay in the bottom of that barrel in your pain, which is accurate and it is valid, I want to validate that. As long as you stay in the bottom of that barrel, which is, let me give you an example. I was coaching a lady once years and years ago, and this guy was very abusive, extremely controlling and extremely narcissistic and extremely abusive. And they had to talk in order to exchange the kids. And he would control and abuse and threaten and dominate every single time they had a connection. Well, she was saying to me, I just can't seem to get away from that. And I go, why does he still have access to you? And I think somebody needs to hear this right now. And I said, why does he still have access? Well, we need to talk so we can exchange the kids. I said, no, you don't. You do not need to talk. Get a mediator in the middle. Block him on Facebook. Block him on Instagram. Block him on your phone. Block him everywhere and have him contact your mom or your sister or your best friend or your pastor or whatever that person is. Have that person be the go-in-between, because you cannot get well if you're still have an IV in your arm full of poison. You cannot move forward if you're still in. Now, I want to talk to you about some circles. And I taught you this, Kelly. It's the hula hoop. I call it the hula hoop. If you're watching me right now, or you're under my voice right this very second, I want you to imagine a hula hoop around you, a big circle as far as your arm can go out to the tip of your finger, all the way around you. That is your space. No one is in charge of that space but you. And the good news is you're not in charge of anyone else's space. So if you're trying to get healthy and you're trying to get free and you're trying to get well, you have to be in charge of that space. So you have to be intentional and go, you know what? You're poison to me right now. Maybe in a year or 6 months, you won't be, but you're used to abusing me. I'm used to being abused, and I've got to clean this space up. So you may no longer cross over into the space at all. Not by Facebook, not by text, not by phone, nothing. You have to cut off the source of the poison. And so I told her that, but here's what we got to, you guys. We got to the bottom line, and the bottom line was she was the one addicted to the abuser. She was the one addicted to being controlled. She was the one addicted to being manhandled. She was the one addicted to being talked down to. So we had to go to work. That was the core root of the issue. The issue was not the man, because she's going to keep attracting the same kind of guy. The issue was she was addicted to the abuser. So then we got into the core root and figured out, what is that? Who is that? And we figured out where it went. And then we were able to heal that. But when you break that addiction to your drug of choice, which could be that you are like, y'all, sometimes we can't live without the drama. We physically don't know who we are without the drama, without the chaos, without the control and the abuse. So then we have to pull back. We have to re-identify who we are in that circle. And then we have to protect it with everything that we have. But then you have to be intentional as you move forward. Like you say, intentionally fabulous. You have to be intentional with that. You can't wait for the right guy to come around and tell you you're fabulous. You can't wait for your kids to say, Mom, I appreciate you and love you, and you're so amazing. You can't wait for your parents to come back and say, I'm so sorry for everything I did to you. You have to make a decision, which is why I love the name Intentionally Fab. You have to make a decision to be intentional. You cannot just, it's not an emotion that's just going to come on you. You have to create the atmosphere for yourself. That's through your five senses. You have to watch what you listen to. You have to watch what you see, what you say, what you feel, even what you smell. That's what I love about aromatherapy.
That is so good. Oh my goodness. So many good points there. So ladies, did you hear that? Carla gave you permission. Maybe you needed to hear it from her. You have permission. You don't need to talk to him. You don't need to see him on social media. You don't need to be abused anymore. And I love how she does it with this heart of a mother, that she says, it's okay. It was not right what was done to you. Like, we're acknowledging that was wrong. It was not okay to be with someone who was, you know, whether they were vicious or abusive or whatever it was, that was not okay. But you don't have to deal with it anymore. Right. You have permission. Carla, this week I literally gave our family dog back to our ex-husband. I didn't realize it, but this dog's energy was like the old family energy. And I was with a friend, and she texted my ex-husband and said, Kelly's going to bring home the dog. Do you want him? And the next morning, the dog was gone. And I just feel so much freedom. Wow. Nothing against a dog. I know you're a huge dog lover, but it just felt like it was dumped on me, and it felt like a burden. And it was like she gave me permission. She was like, Kelly, you don't have to keep the dog. And she texted him right there at dinner. And the next morning, the dog was gone. And I was like giddy. I was like singing. And it was just something about the energy. You talk about that low level energy of the dog, that when I would see the dog, it reminded me of the old family. And she's great with him and his new wife, and I'm sure the dog will be well loved. But it was just an example, you know, of my friend just gave me permission. She's like, you don't have to keep the dog, because it was tying me down to, I can't travel. I got to be home every 4 hours. Chris is laughing. Oh, she likes the hula hoop analogy. Yeah, it's good. Thank you, Chris. Chris is here in the Dallas area. We'll have to get together.
Yeah.
Carla, so many powerful things there. So you mentioned, you know, really getting to the core of things. So, you know, people come on here and everyone wants like the high level. What are the hacks? Let's go to the core. Like, what are the core values, the core things that these ladies really need to work on now, putting one foot in front of the other?
Well, like I said earlier, though, the first step is always this, and it's the hardest step when you're down. You know, we have the emotional frequency scale that shows us from 200 to 1200 or 20. Some start with 20 and go to 1000. But that frequency scale is so real because it sits at the very bottom is fear and despair, right? And that's where if you're at that level, you're literally almost dead. Like, it's almost like seeing a heartbeat that goes beep. Beep. Like when you see that, you think this person's about to die. But whenever they're like in full, it goes beep, beep, beep. Like you can see it. Like that's where I want to be. I want my rhythm to be high and consistent. So I have to be, sometimes I don't feel like it and you're not going to feel like it, but you have to start with this. You have to start by telling, let's speak about your hula hoop again. We're going to fill that hula hoop with life. You got to start by telling yourself who you are. You got to start by re-identifying who you are, because the most powerful thing that can be heard is your brain, your mind, the spirit within you, the spirit around you. There's a soul in the center of you. And from that center soul is your spirit, man. That's where God is in the center of who you are. From that, it's layers that go all the way out to your behavior and your personality. But first, it starts with here. So how do you change that? You have to change the direction of your words. So one of the analogies I love is, I used to struggle with being late. So I instead of saying, I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be late. My daughter said, Mom, you keep saying late. That's what you're going to draw. And I teach this stuff, but I didn't realize I was saying that. So I started saying, I'm always going to be on time. I'm always going to be on time. I'm always going to be on time. So instead of saying something like, never put in your declarations what you don't want to be. So instead, start putting out declarations. All of my clients, I say to them, we're going to start by this. And I make them do it and text me a picture. Like, I want you to do it. Write down 20 things that you love about yourself. And that's hard, especially when you've been beat down by life. But what are the 20 things you love about yourself? What are the 20 things you're believing about yourself? So not, I don't want to be fat anymore. I believe I'm going to be healthy, vibrant, size, whatever, or weight, whatever. Put a number to it. But start speaking about, I'm going to be the highest. Like, I'll give you one of my own personal declarations. I've been declaring this for like 3 years. I am the creator and the designer of the greatest resource that sets women free in the history of time.
I love that.
I'm creating that. Like, I declare that over myself every single day. And I declare that the divorce rate's going to go from 67 down to 10. Like, I'm declaring that every day. Now, I want you to declare those things. Start putting your focus on the direction that you want to go. Remember your hula hoop. Your job is to fill that with whatever you want. So if you want to be sad and down and you want to be upset and depressed, go watch sad movies. Go get around other women who are complaining and bickering and backbiting the whole time. But if you want to be free and you want to be on fire and you want to contribute and you want your life to be intentional, then start surrounding yourself with people who, like Kelly, who do the same, who are lifting each other up, focusing. And listen, I had a season in my life, Kelly, when I was absent with, I mean, I had very little friends that I could call on. My life felt super empty. And I felt really down because I was like, God, I'm not getting invited to anything. But I didn't realize that God was cleaning me up and filling me back up with people that were not. And this was kind of my own mantra. For a season, I said, I don't want to be in association with anybody that's not at my level or above. And I didn't mean that financially. I meant that spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. I didn't want to be around anybody that was not at my level or above. So if I hang out with somebody and it's my friend, and I'm going to remind me to tell you about the circle of friends. This is huge, Kelly, for your viewers. I have to remember this part. In my friends, I thought, okay, because I have circles of friends, and there's levels that I'll show you in a minute that go past four. So four and out didn't matter to me. It was one, two, three, basically. In that circle, you had, like, if you were somebody who was constantly complaining, constantly backbiting, constantly cheating on your husband, or being negative or defiling or whatever, I just thought, I'm cutting my time out with you, because the flow of your hula hoop, the flow of your hula hoop is pouring into mine. We're exchanging circles like this. So your circle is exchanging into mine, and that flow is coming into me. So it's going to make me triple time. I have to triple time fix that. I have to clean up all the mess you brought in. It's like somebody throwing up on you, right? So yes. That's one of the most intentional things I want you guys to do, is take a look at who you are and write out and declare the things you want to be. Because from that point, you just start saying those things, watching the correct things, putting on, like, meditate, put on things that you want to see, fill your head with whatever you want to be. You want to be a realtor? Go find podcasts on succeeding in real estate. You want to be a hairdresser? Go find podcasts that success in hairdressing. Whatever it is you want to be, saturate your brain with that, because this is what we're going to do. This is the intentionality of it. You're making your future bigger than your past. And before you know it, that past begins to do this. And I want you to know that when I made that decision, I said, I'm reversing that 90-10. I'm going to make 10% about my past, and I'm going to make 90% of my thinking about my future. And that 10% that I allow to creep in, I'm going to call it my wisdom seat. So now anything in my past that I'm going to bring to the front, like I just did in this piece today, that's from my wisdom now. That's not because it has power over me.
Wow.
So that's how you turn it around.
So good. And yeah, for our listeners who are live or listening later, just put a yes in the comments if you already had some major revelations and you are getting a lot out of what you're hearing. We'll encourage Carla. She's just amazing. So Carla, did you cover the circle of friends, or you want to add more to that?
Let me speak into that really quick. So if you're watching, you can take a piece of paper. You might have a piece of paper with you. Just draw one little circle and put a number one in it. Then draw another circle right outside of that and put a number two, another circle outside of that, three. Do that all the way until you get to like 10. Okay. You can even go to five, and then the next one is 10. So I want to explain to you, the very inner circle is your one. It's a little tiny circle that represents how many people actually can fit in that. If it's only, to me, I would say 2 to 3 people. Okay. That's your ride or die girls. That's your, if it's your mom and she's your best friend, there you go. Thank you, Kelly.
A little sloppy, but they can see.
There you go. If it's your mom and she's your ride or die, put your mom in there. If it's your sister, if it's your cousin, your best friend, I only have like 3 or 4 people in my number one. Number two are people that you know that are your neighbors, your friends that you go, you know, have girls' night out with maybe once a month. They're your girlfriends. They're your close friends to your neighbors or whatever. Number three are people that you know, you have acquaintance with them, you know them, you'll see them out, you hug them, you say good to see you, you might hang out with them 3 or 4 times a year. Number four are gonna be like your Facebook, Instagram friends. You guys know of each other, you like each other, you communicate, but you don't do life together, you really don't hang out with each other. Five are people that you know of, but you don't tolerate because they're annoying, but you know of them and you're gonna give a thumbs up, hello, good to see you, and you walk on. 10 is abyss. Like 10 is you are out, you are gone. And I now, every single one of us gets to set our own boundaries and our own rules on who goes where. Okay. I want to make this very clear to you guys. You get to set that. Once you set it, then the people around you choose, they show you where they go on your scale. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I'm hanging out with somebody and they start backbiting and they were at a 3, and I'm at dinner and I'm watching, and the whole time they're drawing attention to themselves, they're backbiting, they're complaining, they're cussing, they're crazy. They're, you know, I'm not against cussing. I'm guilty of that. I'm just saying, but like out of the box, crazy. I'm thinking to myself, you're moving to a 5, right? In my mind, I don't go up there and say, hi, I just want to let you know, I just demoted you to a 5. I don't say that. Like in my mind, I just move them out. Okay. If they're a 2 and they start acting crazy and start, like, maybe they betrayed me really bad, I'll just move them out to a 10 or to a 5, depending on what my boundaries are. What this does for us, you guys, is it gives us boundaries and it gives us freedom to not be in dysfunctional relationships. So how do you move people away? I just stop responding. if I'm moving you to a five, five is like, you're not invited to my home because I'm very, very, very protective of who comes into my house. If you're a five, I'm probably not going to respond as fast as I would. If you're a five, there's a lot of things that I've set there, but if you're a one or a two, I'm never going to coach you. I'm never going to charge you for coaching. If you ask me, like, I don't tell, I only respond when somebody asks me, because that's my business. Right. If you're a one or a two, I'm just going to get down and dirty with you and I don't care. And you can be whatever you want, because I trust you. You guys understand where I'm going with you. You set your own boundaries and people show you where they go. And then when they show you, you move them inside your head and nobody has to make excuses and you don't need permission for it. You just do it because it frees you. I had a friend that was a level between a two and a three. She kind of went back and forth. I found out that she put together a whole bunch of my girlfriends that were two to threes. And she had a whole gripe session about me because she thought I didn't intentionally. She thought I intentionally didn't invite her to a party. So she was super rejected and she decided to try to destroy my character. So she literally got several of my girlfriends together. One of them put a stop to it and called me and said, I'm not going to be part of that. And you need to know what she just did. Guess what? I said, it took me about a day to get over that. I was super mad. I moved her to a 10 in my head. I thought, you just intentionally tried to hurt me. Now you go to a 10. So that's it. I just stopped responding to her texts. I stopped responding to her calls. I stopped it all. And I was like, I'm free. I was mad. I forgave her. Then I moved on. I didn't have to talk about it anymore.
No, it's a beautiful thing. And what happens is when you become someone who vibrates on this highest levels of love and freedom and joy and peace, that's what you attract. A gossipy person isn't even going to come to you because they just know you're not going to receive that. And if they try, they're going to move themselves to a 10 because they're just not even going to want to be in your space because
they can't.
You're
exist
not having that. You're right. Not going to receive it. You get to go, no, I give myself permission that I'm not going to get in that drama circle. I'm not going to get myself pulled down. I'm not going to let myself listen to the victim because we become what our environment is. And if you get in with those victims, before you know it, you start complaining and you start gossiping. So and you'll just attract this whole new amazing group. And especially with COVID, with people feeling lonely right now, you will find a new circle. You know, maybe your in-laws are now going to be on the outs and maybe they got moved to a 10. Maybe you're still great friends with them. But
it's their behavior that moves them in and out. That's the freedom. And so a lot of people that are watching have ex-husbands or new husbands have new wives and the kids are back and forth. And the thing that we do as women is we get more invested in what other people think that they're going to think that we thought that they're going to think that I thought and that, and you get all the way around that. And then you think, hold on a second. I don't need to worry about what everybody thinks. I'm worried about the purity and the joy and the high level frequency around my circle so that I can be like fire. I just saw somebody say, that's why I don't have girlfriends. Can I respond to that?
Yes, that's a great question. Let's do that for sure.
That might be like, I don't know if that's just a kidding statement or if that's a true statement.
Well, I think it's real because then the next question is, hey, we're in a pandemic. We're having trouble finding supportive friends. This is an isolated world. So I think a lot of people, especially after divorce, like maybe all your friends were couples and now you're starting over with new friends. You may have moved. You've got a new church. Your kids have a new school. Like your whole world is new and you might not even be in the same town and now you're isolated. So I think we definitely address it.
So that's why I don't have girlfriends. Let me say that when I don't know the person who just said that, but I want to speak into that so that I'm not implying anything to one particular person, but I totally understand that. The problem with that statement is that's kind of like, oh, that's why I don't have girlfriends. Because what I'm hearing there is because I cannot control what everybody does. The good news is we don't have to be in control of what everybody does or doesn't do. We don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you had a bad experience with girlfriends that maybe you were bullied, maybe you were made fun of, that's not the majority. Let me reiterate this again. Whoever you are is what you're going to attract. Go look in the mirror, look at all your closest friends and take inventory of who they are. Or maybe that was in the past. even your ex-husband, even your soon-to-be ex-husband or your current husband or whatever situation you're in, take a look at what's attached to you and what your normal is, and that's who you are. So how do you get new friends? I just started asking God, simple. God, can you send me some friends that are just like me or that are like I want to be? Can you start sending me people into my life that will add value to me so that I can be lifted up, so that I can be safe around these people? Because I don't want to be. So if all I've done is look back and think, man, all of the friends I've had have been really poisonous. That was not my story, but let's say it was. If I look back and go, then I want you guys to take inventory and responsibility. Write that down. Take inventory, then take responsibility. When you look at your inventory, then you go to your responsibility and then you forgive yourself for it and start a new life. So back to the question, if you know, we're in COVID, everybody's lonely, all the things, guess what? Don't sit back and wait for somebody to reach out to you. Don't sit back and wait for somebody to call you and invite you to something. Be creative and invite you start by one friend, by one relative. Hey, come over for dinner. I'm going to make dinner. Create that. If you don't like to make dinner, order a pizza. Get on Pinterest, fun things to do with your friends. Like, get creative and create your own life. Don't sit back in your pain, which I know is hard to do, but don't sit back in your pain and just lick your wounds. Take charge of your life and make a decision that you're going to design your life. Life is by design. We have to design it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And just one little tip. I have two girlfriends. The three of us are singles. And the first Friday of the night, the three of us take turns hosting. And the person who's hosting gets to choose. And there's always either food and some activity and a game or a movie or whatever. And we get to choose. And the person makes whatever. And we show up. And it's delicious. Or they order out. And so I know the first Friday of every month, that's our little girls' night. And we take turns. And it's just something fun and quality time. And start there. You can probably find one or two people pretty easily. And then that can build momentum for other connections and relationships, because then they get invited someplace and so on. And, you know, it's just three of you. It's not a huge group, but that's just something that I look forward to on the first Friday of every month. And I get to host every third month. So it's not a burden. It's fun. It's simple. And It's a place to start.
Kelly, I want to say something. I'm just seeing, and I just feel like somebody needs to hear me say this. There's a lot of issues that we have as women with low self-esteem. And that's why we find it hard to actually be, you know, whenever there's an open Bible study or there's an open book club or, you know, something in your, maybe your children's school has a mom's day out, or I don't know. Most of what keeps us away from our girlfriends is our low self-esteem. And we don't, because I suffered with that for years. I never wanted to go into a place where there were new people. I hated that. As a matter of fact, that's what is what kept me in my marriage for so long, was I was more afraid of being alone at football games and basketball games and school events than I was of being miserable in my marriage. So that's one of the pathetic things that I did. But I want to say, going back to those daily declarations, going back to that exercise, I know you're going to talk about that at the end of this, one of the gifts that we're giving away, but going back to that exercise of declaring who you are, look at yourself in the mirror, say these things out loud, put on, like, go to YouTube and just put powerful leadership inspiration or something like that, and listen to these power podcasts that they play on YouTube, and just put, you know, leadership inspiration, and they just pump you up. And sometimes we need that to get our self-esteem up, and we need that to believe who we are. And a lot of what, and Kelly, I talked about this earlier, March the 1st, I'm releasing an 8-part course where I do a lot of visual teaching. And a lot of what I teach in this first phase is about what I'm teaching right now, but it goes in a lot deeper to help build that self-esteem and to help rebuild who you are as a person in those generics. And we do talk about the identity of the feminine that we talked about earlier in my mission statement. But I really want to encourage people to jump in on that, because it's an 8-part course, and it's going to really, really dive into those things that you need to know. Because I have a heart for women who do not have a high self-esteem, because that was me for so long. And then you're stuck in your own fear, and you don't want to hang out with anybody because you don't know anybody and you don't feel confident to go, you know, with somebody new.
Yes, no, absolutely. And as you alluded to before, like that low victim level versus that high love, peace, joy level, that tipping point in the middle is the courage. So if you don't have the confidence and you don't have the courage, you're going to sit alone on the bleachers or just stay home. We want to help build that courage and that confidence in women and so many people, because, I mean, already just as women, we're talking about century old problem, but now going through a divorce, you do feel beat up and you have things in your head that aren't even true that you think people are thinking at the game because all the ladies are sitting together and you feel alone and you think they're all talking. And it's just, it gets so toxic and poisonous. And Carla, that's why a lot of people stay stuck in this grief cycle. And you are so masterful at moving people along. So whether people are in shock or sadness or depression or wherever they are, what would be some tips to move people along out of this unstuckness? Get them unstuck.
Well, you know, I'm a big advocate of building dream boards, and I know you've done some of that too, Kelly. And I, you know, one of my really good friends, Terry Seville Foy, you can find her, it's terri.com. She is she teaches so much on setting goals and dreaming. And I encourage everybody to go watch her podcast, because that's going to be a turbo boost shot in your system of really getting you out of that sad place and lifting that frequency. Is just listen to some of her podcasts. She gives you so many creative ideas on how to actually restart. And one of the things I love that she says is Coco Chanel was 67 years old when she started her first, 66 or 67 when she started her first, she designed and released her first dress. That's like 67. And Colonel Sanders was in his 70s when he opened his first Kentucky Fried Chicken. So it doesn't matter where you're at in life. It is not too late to start over. But you have to flush out the old way of thinking. You can't just remove an old way of thinking. Okay. And that's the problem I see with a lot of therapy that people go through. It's just about removing, removing, removing. You have to not only remove, but you got to replace immediately so that you can fill that empty space, because the empty space is where Satan comes to destroy you. He comes to tell you lies and then you believe them. So in order to get in front of that, you have to be intentional. Set a goal, set a dream board up. Look at that thing every single day. You guys, I did this 1 year. For myself, I took like a poster board. Okay. I went to Hobby Lobby and I got like the sketch pads that are probably this big. And I literally with a Sharpie wrote out 12 things I was going to see happen for myself this year. And this was like 2 or 3 years ago, just to give you the detail, because I want you to do this for yourself. But just to give you the detail, one of the things was, I was so audacious. I said, I'm going to be invited to go on a girl's trip for free and stay in a beautiful beach home. I just felt like going with a bunch of girlfriends to a beach house that I didn't pay for because I didn't want to pay for it. I was just trusting God with that. And that was how detailed my whole list was. In the middle of that year, one of my friends is married to an NFL coach. They have a beautiful beach house. She invited me and 3 other friends that were my friends too, last minute. And my husband was like, use my air miles. So everything was free, but I didn't realize it towards like several months before the end of the year, when I was going back over, it was like 40 or 50% already completed. The rest of the year, I think there was 1 or 2 things that I didn't accomplish that year, but it wasn't like big giant. It was just little detailed things. I wanted to see the detail, right? That's when I encourage you, whatever it is that you're looking, I'm believing for brand new friends. And this is what I want these friends to look like. I want them to be like this and look like this and be, you know, I'm believing for a new job. I'm believing that my kids are going to be free and they're not going to be in pain. And I'm believing for a new friendship, new partnerships, whatever it is, be detailed about it. Because when you focus on the future, your past begins to disappear. You've got to feel, imagine those 70,000 thoughts. Imagine that. Every single thought needs to be intentional. So start filling that hopper with thoughts of positivity, thoughts of love for yourself, thoughts of the future. I promise you it works. So many times people will say to me, okay, well, that just seems too easy. I just need a bigger formula. Like, this just feels too easy. But it absolutely is that easy. And that's the good news. It's not like this gigantic therapeutic, like, you know, electricity on your brain and all the things. It's that easy. And I would encourage everybody to meditate, intentionally meditate for healing and growth. Go to YouTube and just put guided meditations for healing. Just put that in there and meditate. That will start to repair the damage in your mind and your brain.
Ladies, I will tell you it works. I do all of that. I'm staring right at my vision board. It's right here. I keep it right where I can see it every single day. I have the journal by my bed every night. I write in my gratitude and I read my affirmations. And in my program, I have 8 weeks of affirmations, visualizations, meditations, activations, and celebrations every week that goes with the topic for the week, like forgiveness or identity. It works. I promise you it does. And like Carla says, it's a habit. If you're not doing affirmations now, we're going to start today. And so but that's always do, bring us.
Let me say this really quick. If you always do, I never forget this. If you're writing something down, write this down. If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always got. Remember that. If you want something different, change what you're doing. So what Kelly just said, go to her program and do it. Like actually do it. Don't just sit there and go, yeah, that's great. And get all like high for 30 minutes and then go back to your old ways. Remember this. Oh, if you always do what you always done, you're always going to get what you always got.
Yes. So much truth there. Well, Carla, this is a challenge because we want them to receive the information, but we know that there's also a doing part of it. So we have your first challenge. We call it your freedom challenge. So it's everything that we've talked about. So they are to write out their 10 affirmations and exactly what you said. Who am I? What do I want from life? Who do I want to be? What do I want to achieve in the next 12 months? And what should they not do? They shouldn't write what they don't want. That's so right. Don't say, I don't want to be fat. I don't want to be poor. All those things. I want to be broke. So in the Facebook page, they will see this where they can write theirs down. And then they're going to post it in the Facebook post that has all the other ones there. So take a picture of it. And then they're going to be saying it for 10 minutes every morning out loud. Should they be in the mirror, or what do you suggest? Just read it
out loud. It is a powerful thing for the energy around you, the spirit within you, your brain, your mind. It is important that hears it. It reaffirms and it sends you in the direction of your words. It is so powerful. And I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and I believe that if you put the word of God behind those affirmations, and if you don't know what that is, go to the Bible and put scripture on who does God say I am, scripture on confidence, scripture on prosperity, whatever it is that you want, go find what reaches you and put scripture behind that, because it's the word of God that's going to slice through that negative space in your life, and it's going to bring life to the lifeless part of you. It's going to bring hope to the hopeless part of you. I promise you that. I run a safe house for girls who are rescued out of sex trafficking. And we make an introduction to them about the power of God in their lives. And I have seen God do miracle after miracle, but I've seen life come back to girls who are in despair and hopeless, just simply because the word of God grabs hold of their heart and God begins to do a work in them. So I just want to put that out there. It doesn't matter where you come from, whatever religion you are, I encourage you to just put the word of God behind you.
I agree. Craig, can you give us an example of maybe 5 things that you say every morning, your I ams, maybe 5 of them?
Yeah, I am prosperous. Everything that I touch turns to gold. I walk in freedom. I walk with joy, peace, joy, peace, love. I attract prosperity. I attract all things that I desire. I always say, I am the creator of the greatest, most powerful program to set women free in the history of the existence. Those are the kind of things that I say every morning. But I even have, because right now we have a huge campaign for our ministry. Somebody offered to match $400,000, which is a miracle. And so right now I added to that, I'm attracting millionaires and billionaires who will come alongside of us and help us build 7 safe houses. Like, I'm attracting that. Those are opening the doors of heaven open over me, and everything that I need is dropped into my lap. Like, those are the kind of things that I say. I'm healthy. My body is aligned in perfect health. Everything within me works in the perfect way because I'm 50. I'm moving in the other direction, but I'm going to keep declaring that my body is healthy. And you guys, I'm a junk food junkie. Kelly doesn't want to hear that. I am. I'm Mexican American. We heal with food. Anybody out there? Orale, viva Mexico. So for me, I have to start saying my body desires live food that gives me life. My body attracts and craves food that is alive with enzymes. I have to say that. I have to be intentional at what I want. And I'm telling you, you guys, it happens. It works. Even if, here's what I told my friend the other day. I said, here's the thing. Even if we had no God, even when we have no religion, there's still like a force of gravity that pulls that in. So when you put the word of God behind you and the power that you have there, then you're unstoppable. You are unstoppable. You got to believe that about yourself.
Absolutely. And so there's also a little bonus challenge that Carla put in there for you. And it's everything that she said. So get your 10 plus affirmations written, write them down, post them in the Fabulous Freedom Challenge, hashtag it just like you see there. But the bonus is to do what she said, to give up the communication, to give up discussing the offenses, the hurts, the gossip, you know, just the story you've been telling yourself. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. So that will be in there too when you click on the link to see what today's bonus is. And if you can do it in the next 24 hours, that would be awesome. But to be honest, we are going to give you until Sunday, because on Sunday, we're going to do a drawing. We're going to put all the names in who did the hashtag Fabulous Freedom Challenge and posted a picture of their affirmations. And they are going to get a copy of Carla's 40-Day Arise workbook. This is the workbook that I got when I went through her 3-day retreat, which is over an $8,000 retreat. And this was what we worked in and worked through and came home and continued to heal with. And her personal coaching clients get this. So she's going to gift one of these to someone. So on Sunday, we're going to look at all of the hashtag the Freedom Challenge, Fabulous Freedom Challenge, and put the names in and choose one, and we'll make sure that you get that. So CarlaShellis.com, that's where you can see about Carla's her ministry for the girls who are coming out of sex trafficking. If you want to donate, I get the Bochy's box 4 times a year. It's an incredible gift to you. Go and read all about that. That's an amazing ministry. See about her retreats coming up, her program. She's got a new one coming up at the end of the month, a new one coming up in the summer. So definitely connect to her, follow her. Love her and her family. She's amazing. Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kelly. I'm so honored to be here with you guys and with all of your friends and the people who are blessed enough to come along inside of your circle there and receive from you. Thank you for trusting me with this. And I'm fired up and I'm believing the best for everybody watching.
Well, thank you. And friends, just stay tuned for one more minute. I want to make sure that you come back tomorrow when I have my next guest, Martin Fox. Martin is a global transformation psychologist. He's amazing. He's also in Park City, which is where Carla is right now. But he's going to do a training for you that people pay $5,000 for. Executives pay for the training that he's going to give you tomorrow. So you definitely do not want to miss this. And I just want to mention, go to empoweredafterdivorce.com and you can see the details about the Intentionally Fabulous Single Redefined program. And I am going to give $100 off to anyone who is in the Empowered After Divorce Challenge. So go there and check that out. There's some amazing things for you there to help you with your healing. So we want to continue on this journey. Thank you, everyone, for being here live. It is not too late to invite friends. They can watch the replay inside the Facebook group, and there's still 2 more live nights in the challenge. So go and do your challenge while it's fresh on your mind. Get those affirmations done. You can start reading them tonight, read them again tomorrow, and you're creating some positive momentum and energy. Love you all. Love you, Carla. So everyone, go out and be intentionally fabulous. Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. If you or anyone you know is struggling right now and is looking for some help, make sure and go and visit me at carlashellis.com. And hey, remember, you already have everything that you need within you.